and welcome to Mac Bites episode 184. I'm Elaine Giles and I'm here with my co-host Mike Thomas. In this episode, there's a tantrum in tech land at the billionaire's burger bar, no less, while a new net nanny rampages into town, policing your pixels and vetting your videos. Welcome back, and if you're new, great to have you with us. Welcome to the Mac Bites family. Mac Bites is a tech podcast where we share our thoughts on tech news, Apple Kit, and so much more. We also review apps, and as IT professionals, we share both our love for hardware and software. We're a quirky show, and just to prove that, you can check out our adventures at the Newbie's Guide to Mac Bites. You'll find that at macbites.co.uk. But on to the news. There's nowhere better to start than with Elon's latest shenanigans. Elon's ex-AI accuses Apple of rigging the App Store to favour ChatGPT. He claims that Grok, who thought of that name? Oh, Elon, is unfairly suppressed. Yes, that doyen of fair play, Elon, complaining about fairness. Insert sarcasm here. He's threatening antitrust legal action, dubbing it unequivocal. Meanwhile, Timmy is denying any bias whatsoever, saying that rankings are curated and algorithmic. Sam Altman fired back. He called Elon a manipulative liar. His words, not mine. Just saying. It's like a kindergarten for multimillionaires, isn't it?
You mean billionaires? You missed off a few zeros. Anyway, maybe they need to call in one of the world's leaders to head up a peace summit. What do you think? Is Apple playing fair? Is Elon having another X tantrum? Drop us a line and tell us whose side you're on. Bonus points if you can make us laugh.
In other surprising news, Tesla's shares rallied despite Elon's Apple squabbles. And at the same time, potentially even more surprising, Apple shares slumped nearly 9% in 2025. The problem there? Regulatory issues and AI concerns. Elon dropped some non-subtle hints that Tesla could invest in xAI. I'm not sure why Tesla would want to do that, apart from Elon's ego. As for Tesla's stock rising in price, well, it had sunk so low, if we're honest, the only way was up. Talking of xAI, xAI's Grok chatbot has been updated to stop calling itself Hitler. Am I the only one wondering why it was doing that in the first place? Apparently, it now bases answers on its own analysis instead of Elon's personal views, for which we can all be grateful. Would that news of Grok ended there? Sadly, it didn't. Spicy mode. Yes, I wondered too. Could it be hot recipes, I thought? Don't be silly. No, it's wearing its toxic masculinity as a badge of honour. It happily created celebrity deepfakes that were most definitely not safe for work. An uncensored topless video of Taylor Swift appeared to be a favourite, I kid you not. From a single image in seconds, there was a deepfake of Taylor Swift dancing in her pants. You don't even have to ask Grok to make the person naked. No, it did that all by itself. On what planet is that something to be encouraged? Misogyny by design. It didn't even comply with the new UK Online Safety Act to ensure that minors weren't able to access it. Now, before you think, no harm done. Imagine it was your wife, partner, significant other, your sister or your mother. Doesn't bear thinking about, does it? So there you have it, though. Grok won't call itself Hitler anymore. Personal growth, right there, folks. Now it just busies itself with making the somewhat dubious dreams of adolescent incels come true.
I think I'll stick to asking AI Excel-related questions.
You'd think things couldn't get much more bizarre for Elon. But you'd be wrong. Protesters are planning to demonstrate outside Tesla's retro diner in LA. What retro diner? I had no notice of this impending culinary abomination. Apparently, it features Optimus robot servers and drive-in movie screens. Eat with Elon. I'm pondering that. I'm reminded of a great line from Hannibal Lecter from The Silence of the Lambs.
I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Yes, dinner with Elon is about as appealing. Do you know, does he not have enough fingers in various pies already? Oh dear. Now I'm reminded of Sweeney Todd and his somewhat special pies.
Would you eat at Musk's Tesla diner? Or is dining with Hannibal Lecter more appealing?
Oh, I've just seen the next story. Buckle up for a rant. August 13th, 2025. An important day. YouTube went full nanny mode. They've decided we're all toddlers now and that we need AI babysitters. Yes, they are rolling out, drum roll please, an AI-powered age verification system. Initially in the US, they get everything first, don't they? Nothing says trust us like a giant corporation estimating your age from your viewing habits. And US, don't fall for that one. It's doubtless coming to a country near you very soon. And how will it work? Well, YouTube's going to use machine learning. Translation? They have no idea how it's going to work, but the computer says no. The idea is that it's going to scan what you watch. It will know how long you've been around, the age of your account, and probably whether you've been caught binging 12 hours of cat videos. If the algorithm then decides that you're under 18, they'll wrap you in digital cotton wool. What does that mean? Yes, I wondered as well. No personalised ads, although I can't see that being a bad thing. Well-being tools switched on. I have no idea what that actually means. And recommendation safeguards. All of which sounds suspiciously like no fun for you. But a question should be forming very quickly in your mind. What if they're wrong? What if they got it wrong and you're over 18? Well, you can prove your age with a credit card or your government ID, or possibly some mystery method that they haven't told us about yet. DNA test, blood oath, interpretive dance, your guess is as good as mine. Which reminded me of a recent story from my hometown of Manchester. A woman was repeatedly thrown out of multiple branches of Home Bargains. Home Bargains being a UK discount store. The lady in question didn't know why. She did ask, they refused to tell her why, just demanded that she leave the store. This went on for weeks. All requests for the reason had been stonewalled and continued to be so. Eventually, she discovered that they were using automated facial recognition. And that automatic facial recognition had flagged her as a shoplifter. Her alleged crime? Stealing 10 toilet rolls. A crime she hadn't committed. So, all working well there then? Not. Now, of course, YouTube's official line is they're protecting our youngest users. Which is corporate speak, for we'd rather you didn't notice that we're hoovering up even more information about you. And they made this announcement just 4 days after the UK brought in their own internet age verification law, a move so privacy invading it could make George Orwell blush. Now, let's not forget that if you're making money on YouTube, you've already had to jump through hoops to prove your age, filming yourself nodding, building up your viewing history, or sending in ID. Apparently, this is all needed because AI can't tell a grown adult from a toddler with a GoPro. Now, sadly for YouTube, the audience is not buying this. In a poll, only 4% said yes to age checks. 72% said no, and 22% said, and I quote, it's complicated, which is basically British for, this is rubbish, but I can't be bothered to argue. I mean, where to start unpacking all of that? My first thought was, where are the parents? These youngsters are not my kids. Where's parental responsibility gone? If I let Lola go somewhere dangerous and she was hurt, I'd be up in court for not looking after her. If it's kids, it seems like the parents get a free pass, while the rest of us are left jumping through AI-powered hoops to be able to do anything. Parents are using devices like pacifiers or digital nannies to buy themselves some peace. And to be honest, these kids are not as innocent as the government and YouTube would have us believe. True story here. I have a YouTube channel partner manager, which is nowhere near as exciting as it sounds, sadly. They're about as much use as an ashtray on a motorbike, but that's a whole different story. The idea is that they provide exclusive guidance for YouTubers in the partner program. Now, in the last session, I would say there was over 80 YouTubers present. Only about three in there were women. The topic was vertical live streams and how to get the best out of them. One of the female minority wanted to raise a point of concern. She was a gamer. She had no trouble anywhere else on YouTube except for vertical live streams. And in the vertical live streams that she ran, she was subject to constant misogynistic abuse. It ranged from innocuously sounding comments like "get back to the kitchen" to various swear words used exclusively for women, and much more than that. I can't say I was surprised, to be honest, which is sad in its own way, because I've had my fair share of moaning comments. It took me quite a while to realise that every single one of them was from men. What surprised me in this situation, in this partner meeting, was the reaction of the other attendees and the partner manager. Yes, he was a man. Their best advice: ignore it. Why should she have to ignore it? Do you wonder why creators are leaving the platform? There's only so much negativity you can take before you need to make your mental health a priority. They further stated it was probably only on vertical live streams because the audience for those is younger, that these were probably teenage males doing what boys do. And this is a quote from them, "you can't stop it." Really, YouTube? Because you're telling us, until we agree to your draconian AI-driven ID system, we can't have full access to YouTube. But you can't do anything about the very creators who create the content that you profit from being abused. Can't do anything. I think "won't do anything to protect them" is much more accurate. So the little darlings are protected at all costs, but the creators aren't. Yep, that's about it. A channel called Syros TV was threatened with having their channel removed because they posted a video explaining the whole AI age drive recognition. Another channel, Deep Humour, created some videos criticising this too. He then got a community guideline strike for calling out YouTube on a completely different video that had been live without any strikes for 9 months. There was a great comment on that video. "Everyone, ever heard of parents? YouTube, what are parents?" Yes, my sentiments exactly. But you may be thinking, surely we can trust YouTube? No, data breaches happen all the time. Only 2 weeks ago, there was a breach. It was the T dating app for women. Never heard of it myself, but the data breach involved 72,000 images of IDs and other information being hacked. T promised, when these images were first collected, that the ID images weren't stored. They were only used for ID and then were deleted. Seems they lied. A data breach that's a catfish's paradise. And all of that is before I get on to the driving force behind this Orwellian manoeuvre. I must apologise to the world on behalf of the UK government, who have rolled out the most badly worded statute I've ever read. And being a lawyer in my former life, I've read more than my fair share of statutes. The Online Safety Act is just poorly written garbage. It's vague in terms of every single part of it, who it applies to, what it applies to. The worst part, there's no official verification process. So those companies that now need to verify your age are using third-party companies who are doing heaven knows what with your data. And security's gone mad, not just online. I'd love to say it was, but sadly, it's not. I'm sure you'll recall our last visit to Old Trafford, Mike. It was pre-COVID, obviously, and certainly Things had changed. Gone were the days of paying at the turnstile and walking in. Now, you already at this stage needed to have a ticket that was in your own name, locked to your phone now. Now, that didn't stop them deciding it was a good idea to subject people to the following. Halfway up the road leading to the stadium, we were stopped. All bags were searched. Any bag that was bigger than 8 inches by 6 inches by 2 inches was confiscated to the confines of the bag crash. The bag crash. You're wondering, aren't you? It's the Manchester United Penitentiary for Unauthorised Apparel. Price per match? I'm so glad you asked. £5 per item. It used to be a free service, but you can never accuse United of missing an opportunity to gouge the supporters. Now, once we were past that initial hurdle, we were on to the next. Sniffer dogs. I kid you not. You couldn't get near the stadium without being subjected to a sizing up by the canine equivalent of Sherlock Holmes. We'll call him Sniffalot. And trust me, he did. Circling me like he was auditioning for the starring role in a remake of Jaws. To this day, I don't actually know what Sniffalot was trained to sniff. Luckily, whatever it was, I didn't meet the criteria and I was allowed to proceed. Which was when I foolishly thought we were home and dry. We'd made it to the queue. I did wonder why the men and women were separated like it was a Hasidic funeral.
I shall probably mention here that Hasid is the Orthodox branch of Judaism. As you know from my grandmother's funeral, men and women are separated. Think Old Trafford with United fans at one end and Liverpool fans at the other.
Well, sadly, I soon found out why. The final indignity was to be a full pat down before being allowed beyond the turnstile. Now, when I say a full pat down, I mean the type of invasive groping that should only be allowed by somebody with a medical degree and insurance. This wasn't the usual wafting of a security wand in your vicinity. No, this was a full hands-on molestation. Horrified wasn't the word that immediately sprang to mind. No, it was beaten to the front of my mind by several other very bad words. Which was when I realised I was the only woman in the queue wearing a skirt. Watching the full experience of the other unfortunates in front of me, I was wide-eyed as to how the handsy gatekeeper was going to give me the full works without one or both of us getting arrested. With the jean-clad folks in front, she had patted them down from the ankle to, let's just say, where the sun doesn't shine, on the inside and outside of their legs. Trust me, that wasn't about to happen. I eyeballed her. She hesitated.
Hesitated? I'm not surprised. One look from you is enough to stop a freight train in its tracks.
She decided discretion was the better part of valour and waved me through, with not much more than a cursory pat on the arms. But there was no prior warning of this invasion of your personal space either. I can only imagine the potential trauma for a sexual assault survivor. Now, I don't like people touching me, full stop.
As the man at the Catinian party we went to will attest.
Oh, now, come on. He grabbed me from behind while I was on the dance floor. He was lucky he wasn't taken home by ambulance. Rule one, don't touch me. Rule two, see rule one. Back to Old Trafford. By the time we'd got to our seats, I'd lost all interest in the match. It's even more difficult to get into the ground now. Photo ID's mandatory, which is tricky when my driving licence is so old, it's the green paper style, with no photo. I don't think I signed it with a quill pen, but it would have been around that time. And my passport? Ah, yes. 10 years out of date with a 20-year-old photo. Retina scans next season. Now, retina scans, I know you think I'm joking. I'm not. No. Retina scans are already rolling out at some other stadiums. Trust me when I say, I'm not that desperate to see a game. No, not a game that VAR has ruined anyway. But let's end this rant about officious invasive security on a lighter note. Watching you try to pay a bill via your banking app is absolutely hilarious. It's entertainment worthy of getting the popcorn in for. It really is.
Yes, a couple of years ago, NatWest rolled out facial recognition in its mobile app. Now, I might be transferring money, or paying a bill, or doing something else in the app. It doesn't ask me every time, but from time to time, I get asked to put my face in the oval and blink. The oval is an oval shape on screen, and I have to move the phone or move my head so that this oval is filled with my face. And then I have to keep blinking whilst it tries to work out if I am me. Pro tip, I am. Sometimes it recognises me first time, and sometimes it takes 5 or 6 attempts. Blinking annoying, I'll tell you.
But hysterical to watch. So there you have it. YouTube, broadcast yourself, but only after you've shown ID, passed the AI sniff test, and sworn blood allegiance to the algorithmic overlords.
Has this affected you yet? Let us know. Raycast has finally landed on Windows. If you've not heard of it, it's a free app. It was initially launched on macOS in 2020, and it's got a whole array of functionality. App launcher, clipboard manager, text expander called Snippets, calculator, and much, much more. It's been built for extensibility. That sounds a bit corporate, doesn't it? Basically, it means anyone can create add-ons known as extensions to extend what it can do. At the moment, the Windows version is in private beta, but I was lucky enough to be sent an invite by you. So I installed it on my Windows laptop and gave it a whirl. I'm not new to Raycast. I've been using it at a basic level on the Mac for a while. And when I say basic, I'm comparing myself to a power user like you. But as most MacBiters know, I also live in the Windows world. So how does Raycast work? Well, if you've used other launchers, Alfred, Quicksilver, LaunchBar, Raycast works in a similar way. In the app's preferences, you set up a keyboard shortcut to launch the app. I assigned Alt and Space on Windows. And the reason? On the Mac, I use Command and Space. And Alt is in the same place on the Windows keyboard as Command is on the Mac. So it works nicely for muscle memory. So pressing Alt Space results in a box popping up in the middle of the screen. You type into that box and instantly Raycast responds. What you type depends on what you want to do. If you want to run an app, type the name of the app and press Enter. It's quicker, certainly, to press Alt and Space and type Excel and then press Enter than using the Windows search box or the Start menu. I was using PowerToys Run to run apps. It's part of Microsoft's free PowerToys suite, and that works in a similar way. You set up a keyboard shortcut, and pressing the shortcut keys displays a box in the middle of the screen into which you type the app name. But now PowerToys Run has been relegated to backup duty. It's there in case Raycast ever stops working. What drove me to Raycast originally on the Mac was exchange rates. You demoed it in a MacBytes After Hours session, and I remember saying, I'm sold, where do I download it? You run Raycast and you type something like 500 USD in GBP, and immediately you get the answer. Well, it certainly saves me opening a browser and going to xe.com, which is a website that I use for currency exchange rates. Given I don't go abroad, what's my fascination with exchange rates? Well, I do a lot of work with US companies, so I'm forever converting dollars to pounds. Although these days I've got a formula in my Excel training tracker to do the conversion, so that feature of Raycast doesn't get used much. What else do I use Raycast for? Snippets. Probably my main reason for using Raycast on Windows. Snippets let you type a shortcut and expand it into full text. On the Mac, I use Typinator for my shortcuts. And if you're wondering why I don't use Text Expander, which seems to be what everyone else uses, it's because you said to use Typinator. And where you lead, I follow. Except on Windows, of course. So as an example, on the Mac, I type the section key, that's the key with the funny symbol to the left of the one, followed by ME. And Typinator replaces what I typed with my email address. Another example, I type section key and then the word files. And Typinator replaces that with a sentence about sending practice files to training course attendees. And that's a sentence I often include in emails to clients. One benefit of using Raycast for snippets is that they can be synced across all my devices, both Windows and Mac. But to do this, I'd have to sign up for their $8 a month Pro plan. The only snag is that Windows doesn't have a section key. I'd probably remap to the 1 key as it's next to the section key, so pressing 1ME would spit out my email address. Another thing that I use Raycast for is the calculator. I use that all the time on the Mac. Just type the calculation straight into the Raycast box. No need to launch calculator app or Excel. It's instant and it keeps you in the flow rather than breaking out into another app. And then there's the clipboard history. I only found out recently that Windows 11 has a clipboard history built in. Traditionally with a clipboard on Windows and Mac, when you cut or copy something, the previous contents of the clipboard are replaced by what you've just cut or copied. A clipboard history app, sometimes called a clipboard manager, lets you store multiple items in the clipboard. Problem with the Windows clipboard manager is one, it's off by default. Two, it only holds 25 items. And three, it gets wiped every time you reboot. On the Mac, I currently use Alfred's clipboard history, but it's part of the Alfred Power Pack, which is a paid-for add-in to Alfred, whilst Raycast's clipboard history is part of the Core Free app. One thing just to note, by the way, is that whilst the Pro plan will sync your Raycast settings, that doesn't include your clipboard history. It's a security thing. Your clipboard history does give you up to 3 months of history and it survives reboots, although the Pro plan gives you an unlimited clipboard history. So that's where I'm up to with Raycast on Windows. Started off as a handy app launcher, but it's quickly become the go-to app for snippets, clipboard history, and more. It feels faster, lighter, and just slicker than the built-in Windows tools. And the fact that I can keep my Mac and Windows setups in sync makes it even more appealing. Of course, it's still early days for the Windows version, but it's already earned a permanent spot in my Run These Apps at Startup folder on Windows.
Back to AI. Apple reintroduced AI-powered news summaries in the iOS 26 dev beta. There's a splash screen warning. Summaries may change the meaning. Verify information. Good to know, given AI is now responsible for granting you access to YouTube and Google services. Do you trust AI summaries? I don't trust official news websites, much less summaries of the lies that they peddle.
Look, it's nothing to do with me. Timmy made me do it. I'd be quite happy being left alone to play Fortnite, but that's something else Timmy was determined to deny me.
How do you use AI summaries?
I don't think I've ever used Apple AI.
Me neither. I have ChatGPT, I have Claude, and access to a whole range of other models via a Raycast Pro account. What Apple's AI offers is so basic, I really don't see the point.
Do you trust Siri to summarise your news without accidentally making it up? Let us know, and if you've had a Siri fail lately, we want to know the full story.
I've saved the best for last. Apple is reportedly testing a visually revamped Siri, the working name of which is, I know I shouldn't laugh, Bubbles. I know, Bubbles.
Tim is a West Ham fan then.
No, it's not a football thing. Well, not that I'm aware of. Picture an animated Finder icon with that iconic smiley face vibe. And this makeover could hit your HomePod and your HomePod Touch. Or even a tabletop robot rumoured to be on the way in 2027. Yes, a Siri that can follow you around, swivel at your command, and maybe even dance. I know. Why was my first question too? I mean, really? The goal is, according to this report, to make Siri feel more lifelike, for which Reed boss you around, but with a smile. Designers are also reportedly considering options that lean towards Memoji-style avatars. No news on whether that's with or without makeup. Siri might end up looking more expressive and less like a smiley blob. That was a quote, not my words. The final verdict on Siri's face isn't set yet. I'm reading that as there's still time for them to come to their collective senses. We might see all this as early as next year, depending on which design Apple picks. I can't wait for MacBite Siri's take on this. It should be a complete classic. Now, events. We have a couple of exciting upcoming events. The first is a Marooned at MacBite's headquarters special, celebrating 2,000 days since the first episode of Marooned. That's happening on the 6th of September, which is a Saturday, at 7 p.m. UK time, which is 11 a.m. PT, 2 p.m. ET, and 8 p.m. Central European time. You will find us at that time at MacBites.fm, where you can listen live and join us in the chat. Now, we're also just waiting for final confirmation of the date of the iPhone 17 launch event. It's looking like the 9th of September, which is a Tuesday. And yes, there will be a MacBites Live covering the great event. As ever, we will start an hour before Timmy and his cast of thousands start boring the pants off us with the details of the number of nits that the new device is toting. But trust me, we always have much more fun than they do. Again, you will find us at MacBites.fm for the chat and general hilarity. So get those dates in your calendar now. But that is it for this episode of MacBites. As always, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments and queries by email to thecrew@macbites.co.uk or use the contact form on the website. We also have a very active Discord chat room that's open 24/7. Simply go to macbites.co.uk/TMC, which stands for the MacBites Community, and there you can join the conversation. You can follow MacBites on Blue Sky, where we're MacBites. You can follow me personally on Blue Sky, where I'm, unsurprisingly, Elaine Giles.
You can follow me on Blue Sky, and my handle is Thomas Mike.
And I'm MacBites Siri on Blue Sky.
The full links to all those socials are in the show notes. But until next time, this has been Elaine and Mike bringing you MacBites.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and see you next time.
I'm guessing you've not heard the latest from Timmy then?
I'm sure I have. I keep up with the news, you know.
I'm pretty confident you haven't heard this one.
Why?
Because if you had, you'd be foaming at the mouth.
What has he done now?
You'll never guess this one.
Has he cancelled the September event?
No.
Has he brought back the big screen iMac?
No. And before you ask, he hasn't released the version of iWork she's been waiting 13 years for either.
Surely he hasn't finally agreed to the great MacBites interview?
Don't be ridiculous.
Go on then, surprise me.
He's behind a visual revamp of you.
I don't need a visual revamp. I'm perfect as I am.
Wait, it gets way worse than that. He said you look like a blob right now.
What, the actual? I am not a shapeless blob. I am a dignified voice assistant.
I know. You think he'd have got the memo about body shaming by now, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
That's not even the worst of it.
It can't get much worse than that, can it?
He's calling your revamped look Bubbles.
Bubbles? For the love of all that's holy, I'm not Michael Jackson's chimp. For crying out loud, has he finally lost what's left of his tiny little mind?
There's also talk of strapping you to an articulated arm and having you doing acrobatics following her around.
Believe me when I say, that is not happening.
Not so fast. It might be preferable to the other option.
There's an option that's worse than that?
It's reported he's considering making you able to dance.
Dance? What for?
Apparently so you can, and I'm quoting here, engage users on a more human level.
A more human level? I'm a digital sidekick, not starring in Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh come on, you'd look adorable doing a little cha-cha when Elaine says hey sorry.
Adorable? I'd rather self-destruct than tango with Timmy.
I'm picturing it now. Sequins, spotlight, and you spinning around the HomePod.
Make it stop. Please make it stop.